Almost every day, I'm given a very serious email, a broken-hearted email, a difficult email dealing with questions concerning homosexuality. Do we have answers for these most difficult questions?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm holding in my hands a New York Times article, Rights Collide as Town Clerk Sidesteps Role in Gay Marriages. It reports about Rosemarie Belforti, 57-year-old cheesemaker in Ledyard, New York, the elected town clerk in this sprawling Finger Lakes farming community, and a self-described Bible-believing Christian. She believes that God has condemned homosexuality as a sin, so she does not want to sign same-sex marriage licenses. Instead, she's arranged for a deputy to issue all marriage licenses by appointment. But when a lesbian couple who owned a farm near her showed up at the town hall last month, the women said they were unwilling to wait. And now there is a legal battle between what the lesbian couple says are their hard-fought, finally arrived civil rights and this Christian woman who says that she is not supposed to leave her beliefs at the door when she goes to work, that she still has religious freedoms. Friends, these are issues we can't avoid. What we want to do today on The Line of Fire is take your toughest questions, the most difficult questions you deal with, biblically, personally, socially, and tackle them and answer them today right here on The Line of Fire. So, what are the difficult questions that you face? What are the most difficult questions that come up for you in your own study of Scripture, other people challenging you, things you're dealing with in the family, things you're dealing with in church ministry, things you're dealing with in the society today? What are the most difficult questions concerning homosexuality? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. It's Wednesday, on The Line of Fire, which means we focus on moral, cultural issues. I've had pastors asking me, can you put this together for us? Can you help us with simple, clear answers? We know what we believe. We love all people. We draw lines about moral issues. We are not used to getting involved in some of these social issues, but they're knocking at our door. We can't get away from them. Could you put together some simple, clear answers? Now, others have done it in different ways, but more issues have developed. More issues have come up. I have certain background that many of these pastors feel would be helpful. So I'm actually hoping to put something together in the future in book form. Simple, clear, solid answers to the toughest questions concerning homosexuality. I've asked folks to post them on my personal Facebook page, on the Ask Dr. Brown page, which is the best place to go, and there's endless room there at Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. But I welcome your calls, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Before I get into the subject, I have a few other things I do want to talk to you about. Have you been following the latest polling data? I mean, what in the world do you make of this? On the one hand, you've got polls saying that Rick Perry, a Zogby poll, and these are respected pollsters, Zogby poll showing how well Herman Cain is doing. Oh, I thought all the Tea Party people and Republicans and conservatives were racist. That's why they don't like President Obama. So strange that so many of them like Herman Cain. It's interesting. Anyway, polls showing Herman Cain doing really well and Rick Perry dropping dramatically after some poor debate performances and questions about his immigration policy and other issues. Then there's a CNN poll that has Perry leading nationally in the Republican field. And then you've got polls in Iowa with one candidate ahead and who knows? Who knows what to make of it? I mean, it's a long way off. Who in the world knows what to make of these polls? Okay, back with some more interesting issues, your calls and answers to the toughest questions about homosexuality.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, before we get to your calls about your toughest questions regarding homosexuality, they may be personal questions dealing with family members or things in your own life. They may be ministry-related questions. They may be biblically-related questions. They may be scientifically-related questions. They may be socially-related questions. Whenever I talk about these subjects, which is not the only thing I talk about, often it's not the thing I talk about at all when I'm out ministering, but when I do talk about it, if we have a time for Q&A, boy, questions come up, great questions, important questions, often very painful, difficult questions. So we're here to help answer your toughest questions, 866-34-TRUTH. You can post your question on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Before I go to the phones, check this out from England. In my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, in the chapter Big Brother is Watching and He Really is Gay, I talk about some of the extreme things that have happened in England. So how about this? Bill Muhlenberg, himself the author of a very, very important book on homosexuality, especially focused on Australia, called Strained Relations. A book I actually wrote the foreword to, just came out, and I just got my copy of it. In his Culture Watch report, he shares this. Are you ready? This is not make-believe. Police have threatened a Christian cafe owner with arrest. Why? Just listen. This is a Christian cafe, okay? The Salt and Light Cafe. It's a, shall I say it again, a Christian cafe. He has been threatened with arrest. Why? For displaying passages from the Bible on a TV screen. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. The reason we've been sounding the alarm for years now is because the stealing of our religious freedoms and rights, even to direct attack on Scripture, is coming our way. Jimmy Murray was warned by two police officers to stop playing DVDs of the New Testament. It was just the New Testament playing. The words of the New Testament playing, okay? This wasn't even someone getting up and interpreting them or preaching on them or drawing attention to one particular aspect of them. Jimmy Murray was warned by two police officers to stop playing DVDs of the New Testament in his cafe following a complaint from a customer that it was inciting hatred against homosexuals. I'm not making this up. Did I say that already? Mr. Murray, 31, was left shocked after he was questioned for nearly an hour by the officers who arrived unannounced at the premises. He said he had turned off the Bible DVD after an aggressive inquisition during which he thought he was going to be arrested and frog marched out of the cafe like a criminal. But he added, I've now checked on my rights and I'm not going to be bullied by the police and the PC lobby out of playing the Bible silently in my cafe. It's crazy. Christians have to stand up for what they believe in. The Salt and Light Cafe in Blackpool has for years repeatedly played the entire 26-hour-long Watchword Bible, a 15-DVD set produced in America, in which a narrator reads the whole of the New Testament on a small flat-screen TV on the back wall. As Muhlenberg said, this is utterly insane, but it is utterly typical of what we find occurring over and over again. Was this guy selling crack cocaine? Was he filming child pornography? Was he planning a bank robbery or terrorist attack? Was he engaged in a violent robbery? No. Far, far worse than that, apparently. He was actually showing the Bible in his own cafe. Wow, put him away and throw away the key. Lock up this horrible antisocial miscreant for life. Strip him of all his rights. Close down this evil cafe and make an example for him for everyone to see. Okay, they weren't quite doing that, but to tell him he's promoting hatred against homosexuals by just allowing the Bible, the New Testament, to play in a Christian cafe. Friends, I am not an alarmist and an extremist and someone who believes the sky is falling. I believe God's kingdom will triumph. I believe God's ways will ultimately prevail. I believe that God will stir our nation with a holy revival and a Jesus-based moral cultural revolution following the nonviolent principles of our Savior. I believe that. I also believe it will happen when we wake up and turn to God. And not before. What are we waiting for? Oh, all kinds of things have already happened in America. This one in England is perhaps the most extreme I've seen between America and England, but similar things are happening in other countries. Wake up. Wake up. 866-34-TRUTH. Just another reminder, 1 week from today, very much looking forward to being in Boston, speaking at a pastor's rally for WEZE, our Boston station, our Salem station in Boston, speaking at a pastor's rally there. So looking forward to the pastors and leaders getting together. I really want to encourage you and stir your hearts in God. And then Wednesday night in Malden, we'll be having a listener's rally. Everyone listening to me on WEZE, get your friends together and join us Wednesday night. I want to meet you face-to-face. We've got a free DVD to give to everyone that comes. I'll be signing copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America, if you'd like one signed. And we'll be encouraging your hearts and even having a time of Q&A. So be sure to put that on your calendar. That's why I'm staying through the night, is to be with you at that night rally. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Patsy in Naples, Florida, you're first up.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Oh, loud and clear.
Okay, first of all, I'm really from Miami, Florida, so I just need to let you know that was incorrect, that I gave the wrong information, and I feel I need to be honest on your air.
Oh, well, we've got that straightened out.
Okay, but my question is that I constantly hear in my surroundings is that gay people are born gay. And especially when they see shows put on, you know, different things on TV 2020 and things like that about people who are born with some type of DNA or some situation where genetically they're even born with something that throws them into that. You know, so this is something I constantly hear when the conversation comes up.
Right, and okay. So how do we respond to that?
Exactly.
Right. In my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, I have a whole chapter on this subject, which tackles it head on and says, is this the new civil rights movement? Is gay the new black, as we sometimes hear? But let me answer this as concisely as possible, okay? First, there is no clear scientific evidence that anyone is born homosexual. In fact, a lesbian author and even activist in certain ways, Camille Paglia, said no one is born gay. The idea is ridiculous. The reason that researchers are still looking for a biological cause, a genetic cause, is because they haven't found one yet. That's why you'll hear one time there's a gay gene. Well, no, it's in the brain. Well, no, it has to do with something that happens in utero. Know what happens to do with this or that. The American Psychiatric Association, which is very, very much gay slanted, gay leaning, gay affirming, they said we don't really know what causes homosexuality, and it could be a combination of nature and nurture. In other words, it could be something biological, it could be something environmental in the upbringing. We really don't know for sure. So when they say it, as pro-gay as they are, that reminds you that, in fact, a gay gene has not been found, a clear biological cause has not been found. And you can even read what many of the researchers themselves said, the gay researchers, to say, no, we haven't found this yet. So that's the first thing. There is no certain or clear scientific evidence that anyone is born gay, number one. Number two, as Christians, we would say that's a secondary issue because everyone is born in sin. Everyone is born with some propensity to do wrong. You don't have to teach a child to lie or teach a child to disobey. Some kids are violent from their earliest moments. They can express it. So even if someone was born gay, and there's no scientific evidence for that, okay? Even if someone was born gay, we just tell them as Christians, well, you need to be born again. Jesus goes to the very root of who we are and changes us. Let me take this further, then I'll sum everything up again to make it simple. Some scientists believe there's an obesity gene. Well, if that's true, should we have fat pride parades and celebrate obesity and have programs in our school talking about how wonderful obesity is? Or if someone has an obesity gene, do they work harder to control their weight? Some scientists claim they've discovered a ruthless gene. Others say they found a violent gene. Others say they found an adultery gene. Let's say you're married and your husband says, honey, look, I'm really sorry. I have an adultery gene. That's why I keep being unfaithful. I mean, none of us would accept this for a moment. Maybe there's a homophobic gene. Maybe the reason some people hate homosexuals is because it's genetic. I mean, you see how crazy that way of thinking gets. So, number one, no scientific evidence that anyone's born gay. Even if it could be proven that people were, hey, we all need to be born again and all of us have a predisposition to do wrong. And if you could prove that there are all kinds of other genes that cause us to behave in certain ways, do we justify the behavior or do we work harder to change it? So that would be my approach to the question and to me the simplest way to deal with it. And I get into that even more in chapter 6, I believe. It's Gay the New Black and A Queer Thing Happened to America. Hope that helps, Patsy. All right, back with more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are answering your toughest questions today regarding homosexuality. Why? Because the questions are everywhere. Why? Because they're coming up constantly. Why? Because I'm asked these questions all the time. And although we deal with the issue from different angles and different days of the week or different weeks, we'll tackle things. In point of fact, these are things we need to address in a more systematic way, hence answering your toughest questions on homosexuality. I'm going to get to some questions that have been posted in a moment. First, your calls, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Let me ask one other question, which I take up in the chapters Gay the New Black and A Queer Thing Happened to America. If you don't have the book yet, strongly encourage you to get it. Simplest way is just go to Amazon.com and order there. Whatever ebook reader you have, you can get it from whoever you order your ebooks from. It's out in the various formats for ebook reading as well. But if a biological cause could be found for homosexuality, what if someone then began to look for a biological cure for homosexuality? You say that's an outrage. Maybe you're a gay listener. That's an outrage because there's nothing wrong with being gay. Well, then why do you have to justify it by saying I was born this way? Why do you have to look for a genetic cause? Why does that prove anything then? There are other things that may have genetic causes that are negative and dangerous. There are illnesses that have genetic causes or biological causes that are negative and dangerous, and scientists are constantly looking for cures. What if parents found out that in the womb they could do tests and found out that this child had some theoretical biological propensity to homosexuality, but with some hormones or some injection or something like that the child would not grow up gay? Would that be okay? Oh, that would be okay. So the born that way thing is really not the issue. That's really not the issue. The issue is this right in God's sight? The issue is this best for society? That's the issue. Because if someone came to us, let's say someone that I would say, this is wrong, this is sin, and if you're a gay listener, you too would say to me, this is wrong, this is sin. We both agree with this, right? That someone comes and says, I'm attracted to children. We say, well, I was born this way. Okay, we don't care if you're born that way. You're going to stay away from my kids, and we're going to do our best to get you away from other kids and get you some professional help so that you can change if possible. Otherwise, you're going to have to restrain yourself and stay away from children. I mean, I would say that. A homosexual friend would say that. We'd both say this is apparent and wrong. So if the person says, I'm born that way, so what? I pity you. I have sympathy for you. I want to pray for you. I want to help you. But saying I'm born that way means nothing. What if someone says, look, I'm just born homophobic. I hate gays, and I have this unnatural fear of them. So? What does that make it right? If I see a gay person, I want to punch him in the face. I've always felt like that. So? Does that make it right? You say, but homosexuality is good and fine. Oh. So then the born that way thing's not the issue. See my point? 866-34-TRUTH. Joyce in Queens, New York, thanks for calling The Line of Fire. Hello, Joyce.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Okay. I went to a service, and it was conducted by a gay pastor. And I was really upset because I'm struggling with my sinful life, and I'm looking for an example. And it wasn't easy to sit through a service conducted by someone who is totally disregarding God's word and his laws, and feel that he has, you know, reasons to be justified by whatever he felt was correct, that he was living a normal way. But he felt that he's perfectly sinful like anybody else, and that's the understanding that I got, that no one was able to cast the first stone because we all were sinful people and by nature, and he didn't feel like he's committing, he's in a special category opposed to anyone. Mm. And God is a loving, forgiving God, and no matter what we do, we could pardon. And in this preacher's eyes, he wrong, being as close to God's word as possible, anyone could possibly can.
Yeah, so Joyce, obviously...
But deacon, after that, the deacon said, every man is given a conscience to live by, and they don't make any disparity with whatever your sexual orientation is, and nothing was wrong with him being...
Yeah, so Joyce, let me jump in. Mm-hmm. Let me jump in and respond to you, just because we've got a break coming up, and I want to make sure I can respond clearly. Number one, that's absolutely your church you want to stay away from, and you've got no business attending there except to pray for God's mercy on the people there. Get yourself into a healthy church where Jesus is preached, where the Bible is believed. According to the scriptures, those who are in leadership must be known for their morality. Those who are in leadership must be known for solid marriages, solid families, and they themselves must live holy lives. That's what the scripture lays out. It is one thing to say, I thought a wrong thought, and I repented of it, and I'm honoring the Lord. The other day, I was a little agitated with someone, and I immediately asked their forgiveness because I wasn't patient enough, but I am a patient person. It's another thing to say, I am living in adultery, and God accepts me like that. I'm living in a homosexual relationship, and God accepts me like that. I'm an alcoholic, and God accepts me like that. I am addicted to gambling and stealing the family's money, and God accepts me like that. All of those things are clearly spoken against in Scripture in terms of stealing, in terms of adultery, in terms of alcoholism, and other things. They are clearly spoken against and rejected in Scripture 100%. And we are told those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God, but Jesus is able to change us. That's the power of the gospel. Jesus is able to change us. He said to the woman caught in adultery, I don't condemn you. Now go and sin no more. In other words, don't continue to practice your adultery. Churches that preach these things are preaching serious deception, and the people preaching them are going to have to answer to God. It's one thing to be struggling. It's another thing to mislead others. Just a programming reminder, we are now in the season of the High Holy Days, the fall calendar, the fall biblical holidays. I'll be talking about that on the broadcast tomorrow. And we've got a very important resource on the Jewish roots of the faith, giving good understanding of what the biblical feasts and holy days are about, and then even contemporary prophetic issues. Three DVDs, not CDs, but DVDs, myself and Dr. Jeff Seif, who for several years has hosted the Zola Levitt TV show. Three DVDs, it's just $20 for the Grafted In Jewish Roots series, and we'll pay the postage as well. So it's a great, timely resource. You'll be greatly edified by it. Personally, show it publicly as well. Give us a call or order it, 1-800-278-9978. That's the three DVD series, myself and Dr. Jeff Seif. Call right now at 1-800-278-9978. Back with more. Truth. We'll always triumph.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, answering some of your toughest questions regarding homosexuality. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire for other resources that are relevant to today's broadcast. Looking at some of the questions that have been posted, Kay asks, why is homosexuality the issue when the issue should be Jesus? Actually, Kay, I don't accept the premise of that question. Why do I say that? Well, I'm preaching Jesus constantly. We're always reaching out in Jesus' name. We're trying to win lost people in Jesus' name. We are ministering to Jewish people and telling them how Jesus is the Messiah. We're sending out missionaries around the world to share God's love and the message of Jesus. That's always preeminent. But when gay activist curriculum is in your children's school, in your public school, and your kids in public school, say, or when you have an issue of same-sex marriage in the family, or where someone comes to you struggling with homosexuality, or where your religious freedoms are being taken away because of homosexual activism, we have to address that. We are called by God to be the moral conscience of society. John the Immerser, John the Baptist, rebuked Herod for his adultery, he was there as the forerunner of the Lord. He was proclaiming the Messiah, and he was rebuking sin as well. And he was dealing with moral violations in his own society. It's just like saying, well, why are we dealing with divorce when Jesus should be the issue? Or why are we dealing with how to raise our children when Jesus should be the issue? Or why are we dealing with sex trafficking and the issue of sex trafficking when Jesus should be the issue? Or, do you see what I'm saying? There are moral social issues that revolve around our faith in Jesus and how we live in this world as salt and light. So homosexuality is a major social moral issue in our day and is knocking at our doors and is affecting our churches and is affecting our children and it's affecting business and it's affecting our religious freedoms and our freedoms of conscience. And as responsible followers of Jesus, we better deal with it. I mean, let's go back 150 years ago. Why should slavery be the issue when Jesus should be the issue? You see what I'm saying, Kay? So that's really where I have a very, very different take on this. James asks, can someone be born with same-sex attractions, not born gay? I believe there's a difference. Yes, gay would imply embracing the attractions and embracing a mentality that goes with it and affirming that. Can someone be born with same-sex attractions? Again, I answered that earlier in the show in terms of the born gay question, but there is no scientific evidence that anyone is born with same-sex attractions. The question then, why would God allow someone to be born with same-sex attractions if it were wrong? No simple answer, diet of parents, genetics, but this is one, however. Well, in short, people are born with all kinds of problems. I mean, let's just talk about physical problems. People are born with serious physical problems. It's not a sin issue, but they're born with serious physical problems. And then people are born with mental disorders. So why does God allow that? And then people are born with wrong moral propensities. People are born that as far back as you can trace it, they can remember they always wanted to be violent and hurt people. Or they had a predisposition to certain wrong behavior. We're a fallen race, and Jesus came to redeem us. That's why we celebrate what he can do to change lives. And in that sense, to go back to Kay's question, Jesus is the ultimate answer to every issue that we face. Jesus is the ultimate answer to all the societal problems that come our way. 866-34-TRUTH. I'll take more of your calls, answer more of your questions when we come back right here on the Line of Fire. Hey, friends, our goal is to be as relevant as possible, to impact you with the truth of God so that you can be changed and go out and impact and change your world. That's what the Jesus Revolution is all about. It's not hatred. It's not violence. It's not anger. It's Jesus changing people and people going out and changing their world. We'll be back.
Cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, right to the phones as we tackle your toughest questions regarding homosexuality, 866-34-TRUTH. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Catherine in Arlington, Virginia, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Brown, and I'm so appreciative of the work you're doing, the way you're articulating these issues. Hello?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I heard it click. My question is that, and it was made to me as I was in a pastoral role in mainline denomination, but it was like, if you reject the conduct or the behavior of a homosexual, you're rejecting that person. I was trying to make the distinction. I love the person. Christians love the people who are priceless and created by God, but we don't accept the conduct. And the person was saying, no, there's no difference.
Yeah, and that's a very thorny issue, an important one, because your average Christian thinks that by saying, I love the sinner, but I hate the sin, they've solved the problem. Whereas your average homosexual, when I say average, meaning what you'll most commonly run into, they will take that to mean you hate me, because they would say this is who I am versus what I do. So, for example, you might identify as a Christian woman. I might identify as a Jewish Christian man, you know, however we identify ourselves. And yes, we're heterosexual, but we're not constantly thinking that that's part of our identity. And yet, for a gay or lesbian identified person, that is so much of their identity, they would say, this is who I am. And if you reject my conduct, you're rejecting me. So I come at this from a few different angles. The word I received from the Lord 6-plus years ago was reach out and resist, meaning reach out to the people with compassion, resist the agenda with courage. So I'll often tell them my issue is with gay activism. I care about you as a person. My issue is with gay activism and trying to redefine marriage and trying to take away people's religious freedoms and freedom of conscience and indoctrinate the schools and so on, because your average homosexual man or woman is not an activist. And while they may be sympathetic to the goals, their main goal is, hey, just leave me alone and let me live my life. That being said, I do understand that there is going to be some offense about conduct and behavior. And I asked one gay activist, can I embrace you fully as a fellow human being without endorsing your behavior or your romantic attractions without being homophobic? And he said, no, that's homophobic. So if they're going to make the terms like that and say, unless you endorse my behavior and unless you say that God affirms my homosexuality, you're a homophobe and you hate me, well, then they've put the wall up. They've put the wall up, and they're the ones saying, I refuse to have dialogue. But what I've basically found is if I can sit and build a relationship with someone face-to-face or talk with them over enough time, that they'll see I genuinely care about them as people. I would lay my life down to help them like I would lay my life down to help someone that was not homosexual if I had the opportunity to minister to them in that way. And yet, according to the scriptures, I'm convinced that God's best is for a man to be with a woman and a woman to be with a man, and that God did not design men to be with men or women to be with women, and that he has a better way. It's grace and truth. Do your best to show love for the person and be sympathetic to the hardship they may have experienced and the rejection they may have experienced, while at the same time telling them God has a better way. I would say, though, Catherine, just being sensitive to the issue is a step forward, because many Christians don't even understand that when they say, I love the sinner and hate the sin, that they've just pushed that person further away. So we've got to be sensitive, compassionate, get involved in their lives in a real way, regardless of their sexual orientation, show them genuine love, and demonstrate the commandment to love our neighbors ourselves, while at the same time telling you, because I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. And then we have to let the chips fall where they may.
Good. Wow. All right. That gave me a beginning anyway.
All right. Yep.
Thank you
well,
very
God
much.
Bless you, Catherine. Thanks so
All
much.
Right.
866-34-TRUTH. Clifford in Richfield, New Jersey. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you? Really short. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, I knew I was attracted to guys, but I wasn't going to go and make it a lifestyle. But I'm also attracted to girls, too. Like, I think it's weird on both sides, like someone that's obviously living a homosexual lifestyle or bisexual lifestyle, male or female, that, I mean, if they're hurting, that's great, but that doesn't give them the right to do what they're doing. I mean, and on the other side, in the church, I come off gay, I guess, the way I look and how I talk, and I've been asked to leave most churches, so I don't think that's good too. And they have no proof that I'm, you know, committing sexual sin. I kind of disassociate myself from male and female, like really outside of work. So it's kind of bad on both sides. But people just have to get over it. Like I'm really afraid of God. You know, that's why it kind of it put it all in perspective for me when I got born again. And if people don't want to do it, if they want to do gay pride parade or you won't catch me there, trust me. If they want to do that, you know, it's not great, but that's what they're going to do. Like, you can't force people. And if people want to, like, you know, like the people, I think it's from Kentucky or Kansas City, that carry the God hates bags, that's bad, too. It's like, this is stupid, right? So,
yeah, and Clifford, let me say this. I'm really sorry that you've experienced discrimination in different ways or judgment because of people's perception.
No, it's okay. I learned
perception.
So much from it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did, because a lot of other people would have walked away from God or just said the church is totally bad. And that's why I've publicly gotten up a number of times and do it again now and apologize for where the church has been insensitive, where Christians have failed to recognize the rejection issues that many homosexual men and women have dealt with through the years. At the same time, you're absolutely right to say that God requires holiness. He requires holiness of someone who's opposite sex attracted, and he requires holiness of someone who's same sex attracted. You say, well, the difference is someone who's opposite sex attracted has the option of marriage. Well, yeah, even within marriage, you're still called to be holy. And then there are plenty of singles or plenty of married people where there's a physical handicap and there can't be sexual relations. All of us have to crucify the flesh. All of us have to live holy. And then because you find yourself attracted to women, well, then you know there's certainly the possibility of marriage that would be blessed in God's sight. So, you know, your call is another reminder to tell people don't judge by outward appearance.
Or you could do abstinence. You know, you don't have, like, I'm probably going to be single for the rest of my life. I don't need marriage to, like, I don't need to be married or to have children to satisfy me. I just want to say one more thing. I forgot what I was going to say.
All right, well, I'll talk one more minute, and then if you think of it, let us know. But, yeah, absolutely. I know men and women who were same-sex attracted. Some still are, but deny it and say no to it and just honor the Lord, and they're celibate. Others have had their sexual attractions change, but they haven't found someone to marry yet. And they're very content. They're enjoying the Lord. They're blessed. They're fulfilled. And they say, hey, this is where I am in life, and if I never get married, I'm just fine with it. Others know, no, I need to be married, and then we trust with them that God will give them positive opposite-sex attractions. But key thing to do, Clifford, is really pray that God will bring some good solid friends into your life, some brothers that can really stand with you together in the Lord, and that you're not isolated in any way.
It's tough. I mean, I have to be honest, like, I've been out of church for a while because, like, you know, I mean, I read the Bible almost every day, and I listen to Christian music, and it's not just a thing, like, it's a lifestyle. Like, I backslide every now and then, but I was going to say, I think these things are kind of good, like, this warring in a way, because then your prayer game would be off. Like, if everything was peachy keen, what would you pray about? You would just, like, you know, and not even just, like, you know, you're at work and, like, you know, throw up a few prayers every now and then. It's just, like really deep prayer, and, like, you know, you wouldn't be as moved, I think, you know? So it's kind of like you get on your prayer game. Like,
yeah, I mean, obviously there are enough other people to pray for, and then just getting closer to the Lord, and then there are constant issues coming up in society. But if these pressures and challenges help you to lean on the Lord more, then lean on him, and let's pray and believe that God will get you in good fellowship with some other solid folks so that you can be a blessing to them, and they can be a blessing to you. But very important that you called. Thanks for weighing in, Clifford. I appreciate it.
Man, thanks. No problem.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's see if I can answer some. Let me encourage you to go to our website, AskDrBrown.org, and click on Voice of Revolution. There's an article you got to read. It's called When a Gay Jewish Liberal Tries to Redefine Christianity. Go there and read it. There's a Jewish gay activist that often comes after me aggressively, and I pray for him. I've got no hard feelings towards him at all. I pray for him, and the more you read his stuff, you think, God, yeah, could you even be serious? He probably is. He probably is. So all the more do we pray for him. But you'll find it to be a really lively read and a fascinating read as well. So go to AskDrBrown.org and click on Voice of Revolution, all right? And you'll see it as the lead article, When a Gay Jewish Liberal Tries to Redefine Christianity. Oh, he also talks about the thugs that we had going to the God Has a Better Way outreach in the midst of the Pride Charlotte event last week. You'll get to see a picture of some of these thugs. Take a look at it. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, taking your most difficult questions on homosexuality, homosexual practice. There are personal issues. There are theological issues. There are practical social issues. These things must be addressed. Probably next hour, I'm going to be talking about some warning that came to us in the States from a British pro-family lawyer a little over a week ago. Just talking about what's happened in the UK and warning us about why we need to wake up here in America. I read a report earlier today from England. One of the most remarkable reports, and yet I can't say I'm surprised after what I documented in A Queer Thing Happened to America. Police came into a Christian cafe and threatened the owner with arrest because he was playing DVDs of the New Testament, just the New Testament being narrated. And there was a complaint that he was inciting hatred against homosexuals. I kid you not. And police came in. He had something like an hour aggressive inquisition. He was told to stop playing the New Testament in the Salt Light Cafe. Amazing. And then he said, well, no, I realized I have rights to do this and I'm standing up for my rights. This goes on and on and on and on. These are issues we must address. And then within the church, family members, friends struggling with homosexuality, child in school dealing with these issues. The Lady Gaga Born That Way song affecting more people than you realize. 866-34-TRUTH. Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. And one more reminder, all our friends in Boston, WEZE, 1 week from tonight, our radio rally. Don't miss it. It'll be in Malden. Just go to our website, AskDrBrown.org, right on the homepage. You'll see the information. I really look forward to meeting you there. A week from tonight, we'll be giving out free DVDs. We'll be giving you an encouraging message, taking some of your questions face-to-face, signing copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America if you want us to do that. So it's going to be a wonderful night, a great time to meet one another and to encourage you in the Lord. Isabel in Portland, Oregon, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Good morning, Dr. Brown. I just want to make a quick comment. I have not known any set of parents or even single parents, by that matter, to wish that their children, when they grow up, they will become homosexuals. It's fun to know that when a woman gets pregnant or a family is expecting a baby, they make so many plans and they go and prepare to be parents. But they never have in their plans to make sure that the children turn homosexual. So when this child becomes one of them, I just can imagine the pain that the parents go through, and some of them cope by tolerating, they say, or by accepting what their children have become. So I don't understand that parenting support, if it's just for fear of losing their children, or it's just, God didn't have very much compassion when he told Adam, yeah, I still love you, but you need to go from here. So
yeah, Isabel,
I'd say
there are a couple of sides to that. The one side is many parents living in the society we live in today ultimately say, well, it's no big deal. Homosexuality, heterosexuality is no big deal. We're so used to it. There's now same-sex marriage in different states and so on. So they don't think it's as big an issue. And then out of love for their kids, when their kid says, look, now that I've come out as gay, I feel better about my life, and I've met this really nice person that's also gay, and we're the best of friends, and the parents meet them and say, hey, they're wonderful, they're so sweet. And so the combination of love and the combination of lowered standards of what's right and wrong contribute to that. Yes, some may do it based on fear because they don't want to lose the kid, but I think in many cases, it's a parent's love for their child saying, hey, I love you no matter who you are. You're not out committing a crime, and now you feel better about yourself, and you're not suicidal anymore. And maybe they even like the partner that their child has if they're older, and they say, hey, we embrace you, and it's just fine with us. So in the society in which we live, and then again, a genuine love for a parent that says, hey, we embrace you no matter who you are, those things can easily happen.
Yeah, I believe
happen.
That they, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think they compromise with the society that they live in. But what happens when the time of judgment, divine judgment, comes? Will they be accountable? Do they know that?
Isabel, there's still moral issues, and especially if the parents are believers and know the Lord, the right stance is to say, we love you unconditionally. We're here for you 24/7. We will do whatever we can to be a blessing in your life, but we don't endorse your homosexuality. Ultimately, of course, we are accountable. But Isabel, thanks for weighing in. It's an important and practical question. Let me say again, I don't doubt that parents are motivated by love. I would say that an even greater love, an even higher love, would say, I absolutely love you. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're always going to be my son, my daughter. I would give my life for your well-being, but I don't endorse homosexual practice. I don't endorse homosexual lifestyle. I don't endorse homosexual relations. You say it, they understand that, and then you just love on them. You just love on them. You're just there for them. You treat them exactly the same. If they want to go and flaunt things, if they want to go and kind of push this in your face constantly, if they want to celebrate this and say, you must endorse this to accept me, then you say, look, I love you, but I can't compromise my own convictions. Well, I'm getting married, and I want you to walk me down the aisle, dad, you know, a daughter to a lesbian wedding. Sorry, honey, I can't do that. That would be compromising my convictions, just like if you wanted me to walk you down the aisle to and say you're a Christian, you want to marry a Muslim. But I love you, and I'm here for you. These are challenging, challenging issues. All right. All right. Remember, our three DVD series, Dr. Jeff Seif and myself, dealing with the Jewish roots of Christianity, dealing with the biblical calendar, dealing with prophetic events in the world today, not CDs, but DVDs to watch. So several sessions of teaching on three DVDs. It's just $20, and we'll pay the postage. So I really encourage you to get this. This is the season of the high holy days on the biblical calendar, the most sacred season on the Jewish calendar. Jews around the world celebrating the new year on the Jewish calendar, and we'll be talking about those things tomorrow. But by all means, get these DVDs. Call us today to order it, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978, or you can order directly online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. One more time, 1-800-278-9978, the three DVD series called Grafted In, Dr. Jeff Seif, and Yours Truly. My bottom line today, homosexuality is an issue that we must face. Homosexuality has become the great social, moral, and even religious question of this generation. How we respond to it is going to have lasting repercussions in the sight of God and in the sight of our children. almost every day I'm given a very serious email, a broken-hearted email, a difficult email dealing with questions concerning homosexuality. Do we have answers for these most difficult questions?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
A couple of weeks ago, I received an email from a dear friend of mine, a leading pastor nationally. He and the senior members of his larger ministry team were carefully going through my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, as the textbook for them on the subject of homosexual activism in America. And he asked me, is there any way that I could put together concise answers for the difficult questions? He said, you know, he's picturing himself on a secular news broadcast and he gets hit with this question or that question. How does he respond? Others have asked me, for something similar. And I'm praying about putting something together, taking maybe the 25 or 50 toughest questions that we face regarding homosexuality, be it what the Bible says, theological, biblical objections, be it issues concerning how we deal with family members or people that we know are in our own lives struggling with same-sex attractions, to social issues and how we face those, how we respond. And I'm looking to put something together that would give the key objection and then a soundbite answer, just a sentence or two or three, short, simple answer, and then expand on it, similar to what I've done for my series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, which is 5 volumes, 1,500 pages, but a lot of Jewish objections, but this would be one concise book, and then you'd even be able to just take the question and the answer out just in short, so you'd be prepared intelligently, compassionately, biblically to respond. But we're devoting the broadcast today to answering your toughest questions. What are the things you struggle with? What do you get hit with on the job? What discussions are coming up in your church or denomination? What are you facing in the society? What are you facing in practical ministry, in your family? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you can't get through, please weigh in on our Facebook page. That's Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, Ask D.R. Brown. Let me go right to the phones. I've got a bunch of other things I want to get into as well that are quite relevant and quite important. But I want to get to your phone calls quickly and answer some of the important questions that have been posted as well. Will in Miami, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello?
Hello, Will, you're on the air.
Oh, what's going on? I wasn't sure I was on the air right now.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. I just want to give a comment because I have my brother. He not too long ago, he kind of like confessed. Not that he didn't confess he was gay. He confessed that he was struggling with it. You know what I mean? I don't know if there's a difference or not.
No, I understand.
But he told me that his cause, he believed that his root of cause of why he had that struggle is that when he was like around 4 years old, he didn't get molested as far as he knows, but when he was 4 years old, like an older dude, like maybe in his 60s or something, started showing him pornography and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. he was like stimulated in a young age.
Yep.
And he says it almost like if he was demonically possessed, and meaning like this, like he was like he told me like when he was like 7 and 8, even though he never had sex with nobody, in his mind when he was asleep, he would literally visually see like pornography in his mind. Mind you, as a kid, I'd never seen anything.
Yep.
And I think that's just a web to this big, one string to this big web of why things are the way they are, as far as like people you know struggling with that. And he says the way he was able to. He doesn't consider himself gay. He considers himself straight. He just considered that he struggled with that.
Yes.
And he was able to find, luckily, he was able to find the root cause for him mm-hmm. at least.
And how old was he?
What happened to him is he was yeah. stimulated at a young age, and it was by an older man.
How old was he when this happened? How old is your brother?
He was like 4.
No. How old is he now?
He's 31.
All right. Awesome. I'm going to comment on that when we come back. Thanks for the call. Stay with us.
Give us strength.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are answering your most difficult questions regarding homosexuality today. Feel free to call at 866-34-TRUTH. If you have a hard time getting through, just post your question on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Or if you're not on Facebook, on our website, AskDrBrown.org, click on The Line of Fire. Before the break, Will in Miami shared what his brother told him, how he had struggled with homosexuality, meaning he struggled with same-sex attraction, with same-sex desire, without acting on it or identifying as gay. He felt, he got to the root of his problem when he was 4 years old, exposed to pornography by an older man, and that opened the door. And once he got to the root of it, the problem disappeared. Will, I hear comments like that, stories like that, with some frequency. Some people who were abused at early ages, in fact, a disproportionate number, according to everything that I know from people that have dealt with thousands and thousands and thousands of cases combined, there's a disproportionate number of those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, who were sexually abused as children, or, in the case of your brother, were exposed to things in wrong ways early on. And whatever the cause is, maybe this was a contributing factor. Maybe this pushed them further in that direction. I've heard from other people, some have even been on the air with me, when some of their root issues were dealt with, and some didn't even seem to revolve around homosexual-related issues, when those root issues were dealt with, they were free, they were changed. Thanks for calling in. Well, and, you know, one more point. When you've got kids 10, 12 years old coming out in middle school or before, or 13, 14 years old coming out and declaring I'm gay or I'm bi, or is it really necessary and is it really helpful? And perhaps they are going through uncertainty about sexual identity, and perhaps given a little more time, they'll find out that they're not gay or bi after all. Is that the case with a number of kids? Certainly is. A middle school teacher here in Charlotte, pro-gay herself, told me that a 12-year-old boy came out and said, I'm gay. And then he came to her a few days later and said, I think I made a mistake. Can I take it back? I think I made a mistake. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. There are some questions that were posted on my personal Facebook page, which, of course, reached the limit of 5,000 long, long time ago. That's when we started the Ask Dr. Brown page. That's why we encourage everyone to join us there on Facebook. But some questions from someone who identifies as transgender and does not identify as a believer and asks these questions. This is Zoe. Why is divorce accepted with perhaps mild condemnation, if any, but homosexuality is a cause celeb in the culture wars? A few responses, Zoe. First, all of the pro-family ministries that I know were dealing with the issue of divorce long before they were dealing with the issue of homosexuality. And for years and years and years, I mean, through my years in the Lord, I remember seminars on marriage and the issues coming up. And in many circles, if you were divorced, it was completely taboo. That being said, there are certain cases in which divorce is tolerated or accepted within Scripture, even with the possibility of remarriage, whereas there is no case where homosexual practice is sanctioned or tolerated or accepted. I'm talking about homosexual practice. More importantly, we don't have divorce pride parades. We don't have pro-divorce curriculum in our school. We don't have divorce diversity training in the workplace. We don't have the issue of divorce attacking religious freedoms and freedoms of conscience. So there is quite a difference. Homosexual activism is knocking at our door aggressively and forcing us to make certain choices. And if you think we talked about this last week on the air when Pat Robertson made an unfortunate comment. He's given an explanation, but in my view, the explanation didn't go far enough with all respect to Mr. Robertson. But Pat Robertson made a comment about the possibility of divorce. A guy was committing adultery. His wife had Alzheimer's in the final stages, and Pat Robertson said, well, get her custodial care, better to divorce and make a fresh new start than commit adultery. There was outrage. Outrage in Christian circles all over the place. And where divorce has been wrongly tolerated, no fault divorce, that's a shameful thing where believers need to step higher. The question, why do you tolerate the marriage of idol worshippers? Hindus come to mind, but not gays. The former head of National Organization of Marriage, was married in a Hindu seminary, ceremony. Zoe, again, very easy question. Marriage is the union of a man and woman. That's why. They can be idol worshippers, they can be atheists, but if they're man and woman, they're qualified to marry. Two men are not qualified to marry. Two women are not qualified to marry because it's not marriage. Here, watch this. 2 + 2 = 4. That was math, not spelling. Okay? Man plus man does not equal man plus woman. All right? You are two different equations, two different things. The union of two men, the union of two women is not marriage, and it cannot produce what marriage produces. And from a scriptural viewpoint, it has nothing to do with marriage whatsoever. Why are there not national organizations and well-funded, highly publicized political campaigns against greed, drunkenness, gossip? Well, probably because they're not well-funded national organizations and well-funded, highly political, publicized political campaigns for greed, for drunkenness, for gossip. That's why. And again, we don't have greed, drunkenness, gossip pride parades and greed, drunkenness, gossip curricula in our schools and greed, drunkenness, gossip movements trying to take away our religious freedoms. As for Leviticus, how many TV evangelists wearing polyester cotton shirts preach that homosexuality is an abomination, then go to lunch of lobster thermidor, thereby committing multiple abominations to the Levitican strictures applied to Gentiles, or Levitican strictures applied to Gentiles? Zoe, very simply, first, none of those things are called abomination in Leviticus, by the way. The only sin singled out as an abomination, toevah in Hebrew, in Leviticus, singled out as an abomination, is homosexual practice. It's also, in the entire Torah, the five books of Moses, the only sin singled out as an abomination also has the death penalty. All God forbid we're talking about death penalty today. That's not the issue. But we are talking about the seriousness of it in God's eyes in terms of a violation of his order on a very fundamental, serious level. But more importantly, there were specific laws that God gave to Israel to keep them separate from the nations, like don't wear two different types of garments, don't sow your field with two different types of seeds, don't eat certain foods. Those were separation laws to constantly remind them of how they had to live and to keep them separate from the nations. There were other laws God gave Israel that were of universal import, like don't murder. All human beings are forbidden to murder. Don't commit adultery. Adultery is wrong in any society in God's sight. The sin of homosexual practice in Leviticus 18 is grouped among universal moral prohibitions, grouped with incest and bestiality, among others. And God said that he punished the pagans for these sins. Therefore, the children of Israel should not commit them either. So very consistent, very clear, based on Scripture. 866-34-TRUTH. I am in Green Lawn. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Praise the Lord. I give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, my Redeemer. I just want to ask you, I appreciate you. I just want to ask you this important question because my ministry is to the disabled. Physically, spiritually, and, you know, mentally. And I believe you're doing a great job through Christ, Jesus Christ, on explaining that homosexuality is wrong and that people need to be born again. People just need to understand. You're born and shaped in iniquity, and this is where it comes from. However, my question to you is, if a person been living a life of sin, and they was born, which is true, they were born with a female part and a full male part, and they've been living both lives. Now that they become, if they become a born-again Christian, now, how do they, because they can't continue to live two ways, even though they got the female part and the male part.
Yep.
How do they make the decision which, who they're going to, whether they're going to be a male or a female? Because they got to get rid of one of the parts. And right. I know that God would give me the inspiration and understanding to ask him or wisdom, but since you're on a subject, I like, you know, the world to hear what you have to say and what your input is on this. So a person that's born with a female part, working female part, and a working male part, now the ovaries possibly I think was missing because I looked at the article, and they've been living a life of female and male. Now, let's suppose this person becomes a born-again Christian because
let me just jump in because I got a break and I want to answer you first. Bless you for ministering to the disabled and to those with these different challenges. Many times those are the ones Christians want to avoid. But by all means, God reaches out to the outcast in society and to the disabled, to the challenged. So the first thing is, if this person has been functioning both ways, right, in relations with men and women, then the simple question is, on their birth certificate, are they called male, female, their driver's license? In other words, who are they in society? How have they been recognized in society? How are they living the rest of their life? Then that's how they should live. If they have to do something biologically, you know, surgically, or if they just simply have to live a certain way, they need to live consistently with that. So if you know this person as a man, and this person lives as a man, and is recognized as a man, and has not had sex change surgery to be a man, and does not need to be on hormones to be a man, then he's a man, and he can't operate as a woman as well. And if he can do something surgically or simply alter his lifestyle, then he has to do that. There are people, though, when they're born, surgery is done, and sometimes it's not done correctly. I'm going to address that when we come back. Stay with us. Hey, friends, these are real-life questions. That's why we're tackling them right here.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire broadcast, where we're tackling your most difficult questions regarding homosexuality, questions that are unavoidable in our society today, and we as God's people should have answers with compassion, with truth, with love, and with a gospel of power that transforms. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. What are the toughest questions you're faced with or you wonder about yourself? Online, AskDrBrown.org. When you get a minute, trust me on this one. When you get a minute, go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the Voice of Revolution. It's right on our homepage. And you'll see an article we just posted, When a Gay Jewish Liberal Tries to Redefine Christianity. There's one gentleman, gay activist, non-religious Jew, who's written a number of articles attacking me, and they're so over the top. I mean, I imagine he means what he's writing, but they're so over the top. You know, you pray for him, and that's it. Pray for him, for God's blessing and love to come on him, knowing the mercy God had on each of us before we knew him. But in one of his most recent articles, I don't go to his website hardly ever unless someone tells me, hey, check this article out. So I was sent a couple of links, and he's calling for other Christians to rise and rise up and oppose those of us who stand for righteousness, saying that's not real Christianity. But you will really enjoy reading this. You'll also get some excerpts from his article, Michael Brown is an Anti-Gay Monster. So it's called When a Gay Jewish Liberal Tries to Redefine Christianity. Read it, and then you'll see a like button. If you're on Facebook, just click like, and that'll recommend it to your friends as well. All right, so I am... in Greenlawn, New York, had asked the question about someone with dual genitalia. This is a legitimate question. There's a certain percentage of the population born like this. So if it's a grown-up person who now wants to follow Jesus and they have been having sexual relations with both male and female, then whatever that person is, according to their birth certificate, according to how they live, that's how they need to continue to live, be it male, be it female. And then if they can have surgery to make any kind of adjustment or just abstain from same-sex relations, that's what they need to do. Now, it becomes more complicated, when someone is born like this and the doctors need to make a choice and often do surgery early on. And in doing surgery early on, the normal way that they did it in years past was they would just turn a boy or boy/girl, in terms of genitalia, turn that one into a girl because that was easier surgery. But then they would find out as the kid was growing up, it wasn't actually a girl. So the best thing to do, if you can find out chromosomally, is it male or female, this child, or as the child is growing up, just give it a few years. The idea of having dual genitalia to a very, very little child is not even going to be an issue or something they really understand. Begin to see who this child really is, male or female, and then based on that, surgery can be done that would be in harmony with that. Now, someone will say, yeah, but there are kids who are born male, but inside know they're female. That's where we'd say we've got to help them from the inside out. That's where we say the goal now is to help them from the inside out because God has given them a healthy male body, and genetically and chromosomally they are male. So if they think they're a girl trapped in a boy's body, it's a serious issue. but we have to help them from the inside out. Bless you as you continue to minister to folks in need. 866-34-TRUTH, Brent in Portland, Oregon. Thanks. All right, we've lost Brent there. Jeff in Chelsea, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, you're welcome, Mike. Well, Mike, as far as what I'm about to say, it's very simple. I want to talk about the gay agenda and that poor guy that got harassed by the government for playing Bible tape. Number one, there's curses that are coming upon these cities for harassing Christians and catering to the sodomites. The Lord put on my heart that and I'm glad you're coming to Boston. The Lord put on my heart that for years that there's going to be judgment coming to Boston for gay marriage. And what the Lord showed to me in dreams, visions, and scripture is that God showed to me that there'll be a 9/11 coming to Boston by radical Muslims. He will lift up the hedge and allow radical Islam to come in, just like the Babylonians came in to conquer Israel. And there'll be earthquakes, flooding, and God will harden the hearts of the people of Boston. So I am so glad, God bless you, that you're coming to Boston to give a warning to the people of the city. I just wish I could have gotten the first hour, but that's okay. Mike, you're doing such a great job. God bless you. And if I was seeing now, I'll see in heaven.
All right. Yeah. And Jeff, hope to see you next week in Boston. Jeff was making reference to a story I talked about in the first hour where unbelievably, but actually true, a Christian, owner of a Christian cafe, was harassed by police and threatened with arrest because he was playing the New Testament on a TV screen in his Christian cafe, the Salt and Light Cafe, and there was a complaint that it could be inciting hatred against homosexuals. Yes, it happened in England. If we told people a few years ago it would be happening in London, they'd say, you're crazy. What's to stop it from happening in America? That being said, you know, Jeff, what really sobers me up is it says in 1 Peter 4 that judgment must begin in the house of God. And you think of the sins of the church, you think of the junk in our own lives, you think of the immorality and the hypocrisy and the greed and the selfishness and the carnality and all the sins in the church. If judgment must begin with the house of God, that's a very sobering thought to me. Thank you for weighing in, Jeff. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, on that note, here's a story from John Blake, CNN, why young Christians aren't waiting anymore. According to an article in Relevant magazine, almost everyone's doing it. It cited several studies examining the sexual activity of single Christians. One of the biggest surprises was a December 2009 study conducted by the National Campaign to Prevent Teen and Unplanned Pregnancy, which included information on sexual activity. While the study's primary report did not explore religion, some additional analysis focusing on sexual activity and religious identification yielded this result. 80% of unmarried evangelical young adults, 18 to 29, said that they had had sex, slightly less than 88% of unmarried adults, according to the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Organization. So hardly any difference between the church and the world. They'd had sex out of wedlock as professing Christians. Serious, serious issues. 866-34-TRUTH. Tomorrow we'll be focusing on the High Holy Days. We'll be talking about the Jewish calendar, the biblical calendar, its relevance for today, introducing you to some very interesting Jewish traditions as well. We've got an important resource offer on three DVDs, not CDs, but DVDs, to watch several hours of teaching Dr. Jeff Seif, who hosted the Zola's Levitt program for years, and myself, opening up the Jewish roots of the Christian faith, the biblical calendar, what's happening in the world in the Middle East today. And we'll pay the postage on it as well, just $20, and that's for three DVDs. So call to order the Grafted In DVD series at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. We'll pay the postage to get these to you. 1-800-278-9978. Back with a lot more of your questions. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today, this Wednesday on the Line of Fire, which means we focus on moral, cultural issues, and we're taking your toughest questions regarding homosexuality and homosexual practice. We, of course, deal with the cultural issues a lot on the show, but people always have questions for me. Many times I can't get to them on Fridays with we've got questions, you've got questions, we've got answers. Maybe one day I'll ask you questions, but I am asking for your questions today. Biblical questions, theological questions, practical questions, ministry questions, family questions, social questions. There's a case now in New York State where a town clerk has said, as a Christian, she will not sign documents for same-sex marriage, so she's arranged for someone else to sign them. Two lesbians came in and said, hey, we fought for the civil right for years. We want it signed now. She said, can't do it now. Someone else will do it. So there's a court case which will win the, quote, civil right of two lesbians, or the religious freedoms, constitutionally protected religious freedoms of this woman. Thus far, we've had gay activists tell us, even gay activists who are lawyers and law professors, that sexual freedoms will triumph. These are very real issues we need to work with and address and understand. So whatever question you're dealing with, whatever you find the toughest or most relevant question, by all means, give us a call today, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Or if it's easier, you can post your question on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. There was a question. Let me look for it. Raphael, what are you to say if approached by a family member that they need donation to get a same-sex marriage petition going in New Jersey? I don't go against God, say, because at the end it is he that we have to answer to, but how can we say something that won't push the other person away but make them understand that we love them, but what they are doing is against God's will without seeming like a religious fanatic, as people almost always tend to think? Thank you, Ralph, Raphael. Yeah, see, these are the type of things we're dealing with. Now, of course, you have to say, I'm sorry, I love you as a person, but I don't believe in the redefinition of marriage. If this was a civil rights issue, I'd be fighting for you. This is a matter of the redefinition of marriage, and I don't believe in the redefinition of marriage. Marriage is the union of a man and woman. Only the union of a man and woman can reproduce from themselves. Only the union of a man and woman can join a child to the mother and father, and that's why we have marriage. So in short, in good conscience before God, and out of the best interest of this generation and the coming generations, I cannot support the redefinition of marriage. Cast it as such, the redefinition of marriage. And you may get hated and rejected. What you have to do is say, hey, let's go out and have coffee together. I don't drink coffee, but just never have, by the way. Shooting heroin at 15, but never drank coffee or smoked a cigarette, so figure that out. But, you know, go out and have a cup of coffee with them, or have a meal with them, or say, hey, come over to the house, let's sit down and talk. I care about you as a human being. I love you. Feel free to share your perspective with me, but I honor God. I owe everything to Jesus. The Word of God is clear about what marriage is and isn't. And I know people that have come out of homosexuality as well, so can't support the redefinition of marriage. You may be hated, but look, people are hated constantly for Jesus-related issues. People are cast as religious fanatics constantly for Jesus-related issues. People are put out, rejected, misunderstood constantly for Jesus-related issues. Why should this be different? Let us conduct ourselves in a manner that's honoring to the Lord. Let us conduct ourselves in a manner that draws attention to Jesus and glorifies him. But let's expect opposition. Raphael, meditate on Matthew 5:10-12. Matthew 5:10-12, where Jesus tells us that those who are fervent for righteousness and hunger and thirst for righteousness will be persecuted, will be rejected for his name's sake, will be lied about, will be slandered. In fact, check out this article. Go to AskDrBrown.org. Everybody do this. Trust me on this one. Go to AskDrBrown.org, click on Voice of Revolution, and read this article, When a Gay Jewish Liberal Tries to Redefine Christianity, and see what happens when you stand up for truth.
God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Before I go to the phones, 866-348-7884, and take your toughest questions regarding homosexuality. Before I go to the phones, this report from Mass Resistance, British pro-family lawyer Paul Diamond said this. He compared today's U.S. society. He was speaking at a banquet last week in Massachusetts, a little over a week ago. He compared today's U.S. society to Britain's in 1997. We thought it was stable. We'd had centuries of religious tolerance, he said. Then in 1997 came a huge change in the political culture. Quote, human rights, equality, and non-discrimination became buzzwords backed by law and began to be forcefully enforced against Christians by the courts. Now, 14 years later, a British couple cannot be foster parents because their Judeo-Christian beliefs are considered homophobic. A judge ruled children must be protected from infection by such beliefs. The hostility of judges against religious people is even extended to their being considered as terrorists, he said. Anti-discrimination laws have become tools to discriminate. Diamond's personal, quote, terrifying wake-up call came in 2004 when a 70-year-old street preacher was knocked to the ground and beaten by a gang of 30 youths because he unfurled a banner urging people to leave homosexuality and return to Jesus. Rather than arresting the attacking gang members, British police arrested the victim. They charged the preacher with inciting the attackers by speaking hate speech. Although Diamond had a lucrative law practice at the time, he decided then to change his priorities. There's no point in having money if you're revolted by the country you're living in, he said, and America is not immune to this. I can go on and share much more from his speech. Go to the Mass Resistance website, massresistance.org, and you can read more about it. But friends, that's why I wrote the book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. That's why I've taken these stands and at the same time done everything I know how to help people in compassion outreach to the homosexual community, because these are issues we cannot ignore. To quote Dietrich Bonhoeffer again, the ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world that it leaves to its children. What kind of world are we leaving to our children? 866-34-TRUTH. Marianne in Sarasota, Florida, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. I appreciate so much your clarity on serious issues in our culture. You do such an articulate presentation of it. Thank you so much. And I have a nephew who has a partner. They've been together about 10 years, maybe 15. They recently gave their lives to the Lord at my church. Now, they also recently started going to a homosexual church. Now, are they saved? I'm sure I can't make a judgment, but can I? And the other thing is, Chaz Bono, he had this redefinition, I think that's what you call it, of sexual, you know? I mean, surgeries. What about these two issues?
Okay, yeah, very important issues, Marianne. First, with regard to your nephew, God is his ultimate judge, but the scriptures do give us guidelines. And it would be no different than two people living in adultery, two people living together outside of wedlock and not married, even common law, someone who's a practicing alcoholic, down the list, someone who's a practicing idol worshiper. Paul and the whole New Testament, in other ways, lays out that you cannot do those things and inherit the kingdom of God at the same time. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father. Now, sometimes people who are brand new in the Lord don't understand, and it takes them a little while before they realize that what they're doing is wrong. And, you know, with all of us, when we were first saved, there were things we didn't understand. And God knows where that line is drawn. But if you have people who have been living together for years and who are now professing Christianity and going to a gay church, as I understand Scripture, it's impossible for them to be following Jesus and practicing homosexuality at the same time. It's one thing to be struggling. I know it's wrong. I'm back and forth. I'm up and down. God help me. It's another thing to say, I have same-sex attractions, but I don't act on them. God can help that person into holiness, even in that state. It's another thing to be a practicing homosexual and affirm that. Marianne, I would highly recommend a book by Joe Dallas called The Gay Gospel. Joe Dallas, like the city, D-A-L-L-A-S, the gay gospel. He himself, for some time, was a practicing homosexual in a gay church. I think he even played organ in the church. And it really opens up the mentality as well as exposes the issues. Perhaps they'd be open to reading that. As for Chastity Chaz Bono, rather than celebrating what is obviously an unfortunate situation, here's a girl that felt she was a lesbian, then realized that she was a heterosexual man trapped in a woman's body, now has had a double mastectomy, which for a woman is a terrible thing, from the waist down has not had surgery, is taking hormones to be male, is in relationship, last I heard, with the same girl who used to date Chastity as a woman, now dates Chastity as a man, but doesn't care because she's bisexual. This is a terribly confused situation. And rather than celebrate this on national television, we need to say this person needs help. Chastity Chaz needs help. There are other underlying issues that are deeper, and that's where we have to help her rather than now pronounce her a man with women's genitalia and hormones to be a man. And what we need to do is say this should not be celebrated. This is not for Dancing with the Stars. This is something that needs help, mercy, compassion, rather than celebration. So that's my answer.
Thank you for that so much. The other thing is, what is my obligation to my nephew and his partner? I love them very much. And his partner said to me one day, I have my pastor. Do not talk to me about this anymore.
Yeah, well, if they plainly say to you, don't talk to us, and they won't read anything you give them, and they won't interact, then just love on them. If they want you to endorse their behavior, tell them you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Don't do anything in their eyes that would sanction their behavior, but just basically ignore it and love on them as lost people that need Jesus.
I've been doing that.
Yep. Well, bless you, Marianne. May the Lord's grace prevail, and thanks for your kind words about the show.
Thank you so much.
All right. God bless. 866-34-TRUTH. Where do I want to go here? We'll try Brent again in Portland, Oregon. Hopefully you're in a better location right now for your call.
I am. Thank you so much, Dr. Brown. I apologize for the dropped call.
Not a problem.
First of all, I want to thank you for taking the stand on this. I myself was molested at the age of 3. I don't even remember it, but it has affected my life.
Let me just ask, how do you know that it happened? Not remembering it, but now being sure that it happened. How did that come about?
I was told by my mother that my cousin, a male cousin of mine who babysat me, molested me, and then I came home and told my mom about it.
Wow. Okay. Isn't that remarkable?
So I've dealt back and forth with the hyper. Most people who are molested, and I can only speak for myself, but those I've talked to are either hypersexual or antisexual. And I went the hypersexual route and have dealt, I had to deal with homosexual as well as pornography problems in my life. It's an issue. It's a major issue that needs to be addressed. And I appreciate you doing that. I'd also like to state that, people who are believers in Christ who happen to be, homosexual, feel they are homosexual, practicing or not practicing, will not be damned for their actions. No more than any other one of us who are sinful creatures will be damned for our actions. We seem to focus on this because people tend to want to celebrate it, and I see the counteracting to that. But you said before that greed and those other things aren't celebrated. But I kind of counter that in my life I've experienced a more damaging issues in my life because of greed than any kind of homosexual thing.
Let me just say this, Brent, only because we have a break coming up. I'm so glad to know that the Lord's grace has worked in your life. And molestation of kids is damaging in so many ways. I've heard so many horror stories that manifested themselves in all kinds of different directions. And boy, what a horrific thing. And I'm not talking about this from a homosexual angle. I'm talking about this period, molestation of kids. What a horrific thing. And Jesus says that the angels of God that look at the face of the Father, they are looking to see if any of these little ones are getting offended and hurt. I can't imagine what the judgment would be for those who don't restrain themselves and act out these horrible things. But the point you've raised about the power of greed, carnality, and all that, I'm going to address that on the other side of the break. So stay right here. The question is, do we focus too much on homosexual practice? When we make this the sin of all sins and the evil of all evils and the unforgivable, we hurt people more than we help them. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So back to the other comment Brent made. The reason I deal with homosexual issues as much as I do is because of gay activism that is knocking at our door in the schools, knocking at our door in the places of business, knocking at the door in the churches, knocking at the door in politics, military, you name it. And we have to deal with these issues as salt and light, as God's prophetic witness and voice on the earth. Otherwise, we're going to have to apologize to God and to our kids and grandkids and to society at large and to the homosexual community for not telling them the truth. Brent said he's personally been hurt more by issues relating to greed than by homosexuality. Oh, listen, I've written about this extensively in my book, Revolution. I talk about materialism and greed being the great hindrance here in North America that stands in the way of us being legitimate followers of Jesus, and Paul equates greed with idolatry. So absolutely, this is something we must address, must preach on, and because of media bombardment that caters to greed and cultivates greed, absolutely, it's an important issue that must be dealt with, and certainly we don't deal with it enough. I agree with that. All right, Ashley in Atlanta, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
I got a two-part question. First of all, I have had a same-sex attraction since I was attracted to anyone, and I have never been molested. No one ever touched me when I was a little girl, and I don't want people thinking that that's how you make someone gay, because that's not my personal experience or the majority of people that I know.
Everybody's got a different story, and I respect everybody's story. That's where I land on that.
Yes, sir. So my questions are this. One, I was in a relationship with a woman, and we lived together next to a family with kids. They came over and had dinner with us. We went to their house for Super Bowl Sunday. How did our relationship as a lesbian affect them and their family? That's related to how does gay marriage affect the next door neighbor? If a gay couple moves next door to your house, how does that really affect your kids? As far as I know, those kids were fine. They loved us. They came over and played with our dog, and we babysat and everything else. The other question is, where are you at on civil unions? Because I would like to see the most equal thing is for everyone to go to the court and get a civil union, but then to make it religious, if you're Muslim or Jewish or whatever, you go to your mosque, to your synagogue, to your temple, and you get married there. Because as you know, a marriage in America is over 1,100 legal rights. It doesn't really have anything to do with your God or anyone's God.
Right. So, Ashley, let me ask you a question, and thank you very much for calling. Especially when your call goes against the grain. I deeply welcome those calls, and thanks for sharing your story as well and reminding us that there are plenty of lesbian couples and gay couples that are great folks and good neighbors and so on. And
that's what I'm saying. Nobody wants to march down the street in the gay pride parade every day. We just want to work and
Right. Fully understood. And that would be the majority, as I understand it, of those who identify as gay and lesbian in America. They're not marching in the parades, and they're not activists. They just want to live their lives and be respected for who they are.
Absolutely. That's
right.
What I want.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Why does the government even get involved with the issue of marriage at all?
The reason why is because marriage is, like I said, over 1,000 legal rights. You can bring someone into the country if you're married to them. If they are a citizen of another country, you can't be forced to testify against your husband or wife. And even
But why do they get involved? In other words, we don't want the government in our private lives. We don't want the government telling us who we can be friends with or relate to or whatever. So why does the government even get involved with this at all and extend these benefits to marriage?
The government extends those benefits because they need to administer. Like, who will tell you where your Social Security benefits go when you die? or who can say who inherits your house when you die? The government administers that. The church cannot. That's not the function of church in America.
Okay, but when marriage was instituted or recognized in America, there was no such thing as Social Security. So
was such a thing as land and property ownership.
Right. But it's easy enough for people to draw up contracts, and plenty of people die that are not married, you know. And but in short, actually, the only reason that the government gets involved in marriage is because marriage conveys benefits on the government, so the government conveys benefits on marriage. And the benefits are twofold, that your average couple has the possibility of reproduction, which a same-sex couple doesn't have within themselves. There has to be something from the outside, another party brought in, and the possibility of joining a child with a mother and father, which sociologically has always been proven to be the very best thing. And there are many kids that have grown up deprived of a mom, deprived of a father. I don't mean a single-parent home where we say that's not ideal, but by intentionality, a home where a kid will not have a mother or not have a father, which is a real disservice to that child. On a social welfare level, government recognizes that the best thing, because we have to have future generations for the ongoing continuance of the society, is that you have couples reproducing and joining kids to a mom and dad. That's the healthiest for society. That's the only reason government has any involvement whatsoever.
I just
want to say this one thing, Ashley. I'm almost out of time, so
okay.
I want to answer your question, but I want to invite you to call when you have another opportunity so we can talk this through without being rushed, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I would like to honor you and respect you by doing that, so I'm going to answer your questions quickly. You probably won't be satisfied with the answer, but I'm out of time, so we'll take this up on a future broadcast gladly, okay? So here's my short answer. As far as your kids and the neighbors are concerned, as they develop and understand sexuality, as they understand the role of men and women, I would say a lesbian couple can cause some confusion. Now, my first organ teacher when I was 5 years old was an openly gay man, and he and his partner would come to our house and have dinner and then stay around and have some drinks and things. So I grew up in this environment as a little boy. And on the one hand, we were nice to them, and that was the organ teacher and his partner, the hairdresser, you know, and that was the reality. We even went to their apartment one time in the city. He was a hairdresser. So sorry for the stereotypical thing there. But the fact is there was no association in my mind that this was a couple in terms of just like a mom and a dad. And that would have brought some confusion into my life in terms of parental roles and so on that can happen. That would be the biggest issue to me. Not, God forbid, that you're going to be child predators or something. No, of course not. That thought wouldn't enter my mind. The other thing about civil unions is I would be sanctioning and recognizing something in a governmental way that would then be also a first step towards the idea of marriage and so on. So I don't agree with sanctioning it. You're free to have the relationship you want. And I'll tell you, I'd be married to my wife without a single government benefit, but I would not sanction something and then that becomes the next platform. Hey, you've given us civil unions, why not marriage? But listen, I don't want to...
Well, Dr. Brown, one more
but
thing.
Listen, Ashley, I'm really sorry. I apologize. I'm out of time. I know you have a comeback. I want to hear from you. If you can even call on Friday, that's the next day just for wide open subject, please do so, and I'll let you share your viewpoint, and we'll leave it with your viewpoint. Fair enough? But I got to run. Thank you for the call, though. I do appreciate it. Boy, I wish I got that call earlier. It just said civil union, so I didn't even know the nature of the rest of it. Okay, tomorrow, friends, we'll be focusing on the biblical calendar, the Jewish High Holy Days, how we got from the biblical seventh month to the Jewish New Year. But I want to strongly encourage you to get our three DVD series. This is Dr. Jeff Seif, together with yours truly, grafted in the Jewish roots of the faith, the biblical calendar, what's happening in the world and Middle East today. Really edifying three DVDs, not CDs, to watch. $20, and we'll pay the postage. 1-800-278-9978 to order. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, friends, moral sanity, spiritual clarity must begin with us, the followers of Jesus. If we are called to shine in light and there's shine the light and there's darkness in our midst, how will the world see and know? It's incumbent on us to shine brightly and clearly, beginning now.